Welcome to our discussion of Tu B'Av, the day of Jewish dating, a dating day. And it's one of the strangest holidays, very not really well understood. Generally, we kind of pass by it by just skipping time or just skip one of our prayers that day. But we really don't do that much to commemorate Tu B'Av. However, the Mishnah in Tainis tells us that it was one of the most significant holidays. We need to understand exactly the nature of it. Even after we understand it, it still seems kind of strange. So let's take a look at it. So we need to go back to the Mishnah in order to understand what this day is all about. And here we go. Mishnah says, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Lo hayu yomim tovim l'Yisrael. There were never Jewish holidays as good as Chamisha Asar B'Av, as Tu B'Av, as the 15th of Av, and Yom HaKippurim, and Yom Kippur. Such a strange statement. Tu B'Av we barely heard of, and Yom Kippur does not seem like one of the happiest days. But then they say, no. Listen, this is what used to go on these days. Shabbahem, Benoth Yushalayim, Yotzos, Beklei Lavan, Shulim, Lo Sholei Vayish, Es Misha Ein Lo. Kol HaKelim, Tulim Tfila. He says, on this day, all the daughters of Jerusalem, some people say the daughters of Israel, some people say only the daughters of Jerusalem, they would go out with white clothing that was borrowed because they didn't want to embarrass anyone who didn't have. So you had beautiful colored clothing, someone else only had white clothing, someone else had sackcloth. Everyone would borrow from each other, everyone had white clothing, so everyone was equal in that sense. We'll see later they weren't so equal, but at least for clothing perspective, they were equal. Benoz Yushalayim, the daughters of Jerusalem, again, there's a debate as to whether it was really just for the Jerusalem girls or other girls. Yotzos v'cholos b'karim, they go out and they make circle dances in the vineyards. Sounds like a very non-Jewish kind of thing to do, but that's what they did. Mayu almost, what would they say in the vineyard? Sain bachur, young man. Sain nainach re'e, lift up your eyes and see. Matab re'elcha, see what you should choose for yourself. Al t'deinach benoi, don't look at the beauty. T'deinach mishpacha, look at my wonderful mishpacha, my wonderful yichus. Shek rachem ve'vlayof. That's a very strange, contradictory statement. You should look at what you're choosing, but don't look at the beauty. Look at my yichus. So it's a strange statement. We'll see later. The Gemara will sort of doctor it up a little bit. Then we go on, and the Gemara says, they quote things from the Friday night Proverb 31. And then they quote another verse from Shir HaShirim that the daughters of Jerusalem should go out and see Solomon with a beautiful crown that his mother gave him on the day of his wedding, his chasana, and v'yom simchas libo on the day of his rejoicing. So they make a midrashic interpretation. What do you mean that Solomon should rejoice on the day of his wedding? That's the day of the giving of the Torah. And the day of the happiness of his heart, that's the day the big base of will be rebuilt. Huh? What is that talking about? We're talking about women dancing and making a shidduch. And then we talk about Solomon. Okay, maybe the daughters want to marry Solomon. But the day of his wedding, what does that got to do with it? So most people interpret it to mean it's talking about Yom Kippur. That Yom Kippur was the day of the giving of the Torah. Because Moshe came down in the 17th of Tammuz, broke the luchos, went up for 40 days, went up again for 40 days. He came down on Yom Kippur and he gave us the Torah. And then the day of rejoicing is based on Mikdash. What does that got to do? What do these verses have to do with Tu B'Av? So we'll have to come back to that later. Now the Gemara comments on the ceremony itself. Bas Melech Shoelos Mi Bas Kohen Gadol. Bas Kohen Gadol Mi Bas Zkan. They would borrow from people a little bit beneath them. If she was a princess, she would borrow from a Kohen daughter. If she would borrow from someone else. And all the Jews would borrow one from another, these white garments. Now, as I said, the Mishnah looks a little bit mixed up. The girl said, look at me. Don't look at my beauty. Look at my yichus. So they said, no. It goes like this. Yefeif Yoshibaham, the beautiful one, said, after all, a wife should be beautiful. That's the main thing. And then those who had great yichus would say, no. Look at my beautiful mishpacha, my lineage, my ancestry. Because the whole thing is, you want to have children, you want them to have a wonderful lineage. The Chuaras, those were truly nothing to look at, and they had challenges of making a shidduch. What would they say? You should marry me for the sake of heaven. But, you know, if you adorn me with gold, everything will be good. If you put enough jewelry on me, I'll look fine. So, also kind of strange. The whole thing is strange. What kind of dating is this? The girls are going after the boys. Usually it's the other way around. Very, very strange. Very strange. So we'll get to it. So the Marshal quotes the Kolbo. Marshal lived in the 16th century, and the Kol Bo'olim around the 13th century in Provence. And he says as follows: Yesh Tamein. Some people wonder, Eich Haya Tov HaMinhag Hazeh? Why is this good? Why are we reading about this? This sounds like some pagan ritual. What is it? The rabbis were happy about this. Shechadfu Ishes Ishto. A man should grab a woman and say, "Oh, you look beautiful. I'll take you." What is this? Chaser Shalom Domakilu Hayu Benos Yisrael Hefker. It looks like the Jewish daughters were just if anybody's taking. What is this? Ain't Ve'Einze Tema Giyesh Ladas. He says it's not a tema. It's not such a question. You should know. Should call me Shalom Agas Lasi Bito Sham Lo Aya Shol Chasha. If you could marry your daughter off, you would not send your daughter to this kind of singles weekend. This is not for you. If she's too young, what difference does it make if someone decides he wants to marry her? The father's in charge of who marries, not some guy. And then, or if she's like 12 or so, or bogeres, or older than that, the father's not going to let her go outside like this. And if she goes out, he's going to tell her who to marry. A nice boy, not one of these people out there. Generally, you marry with the father's permission. So what is this minhag? What is this craziness? The father can't marry them off. He doesn't have the right dowry and all that. So maybe they would sit there until their head turned white. In other words, until they were older and unable to get married at that old age, unable to bear children. Not for this minhag, they would remain agunot, they remain unmarried forever. So therefore, the rabbis instituted this for women who had trouble marrying in other more normative ways. So that's an interesting theory of the Marshal. But still, if this was the most joyous day of the year, really, if this is just for those who don't have, this is the most joyous day of the year. This is sort of like a singles weekend for orphans and widows. I don't know. It still seems a little bit strange. The Miri says, look, it wasn't free for all here, free love here. It goes like this. If they agreed one to another, I mean, they had to both agree. It wasn't that the woman said, hey, look at me, and then some creep comes along and says, I'll take you, and then she was forced to marry him. No. They had to agree with each other. Then they tell their relatives. Of course, you have to get permission. After they go home, and then they decide, yes or no. And then they get engaged. They don't just grab the woman. And that's what it's talking about. And then he says the following. He says, Lo nischavna ima shol Shlomo l'malchus el Torah l'chochma. What Solomon's mother wanted when she had Solomon was not that he should be a king. She wanted to be a princess. No, she wanted chochma. She wanted wisdom. And that's what it says, that the day of her wedding was the day of Torah. What does that mean? That her whole idea when she got married was to have children who would be raised for Torah. And that's the true joy. So the claim here is that when the Mishnah said, the Mishnah finished off by saying, on the happy day of Solomon's mother, on the day of the giving of the Torah, and the day of the wedding, it's the same thing. The day of the wedding is the Torah because the ideal of getting married is to get married, to have children, to raise them for Torah. There's Rabbi Sefter Shefter talks about the idea that we have a dual component to our pruvah ruah, the mitzvah of having children. There's a general biological commandment to be fruitful and fill the world. And then there's a second commandment to have Jewish children, to have children to continue the Jewish tradition, and the highest level would be through Torah. The Michtav Eliyahu was a 20th century Rabbi Dessler. He said, look how beautiful it was. He said, the Gemara says, Mishein lo isha niftin l'sham. Only men who didn't have a wife went there. It was not a free-for-all that all the married men could come and gawk at the single women. No. Only people who didn't have a wife could go there. And he says, it's amazing. Nobody went there who wasn't supposed to go there. Only, he says, what a holy community it was. What an amazing thing. A little hard to believe, but it's very, very interesting. The Marsha, who often comments on these types of Gemaras, says, if he owes, he says there were some women who were beautiful, some women who had good yichus, some women said that it should be that they had other qualities. So he says there are three or four qualities which which in general we have to pursue. We have to pursue the good, those who are, you know, good, Torah, the beautiful. So sometimes we pursue things that are beautiful, the pleasant, and also the practical. Some of them may have come from families of that were had yichus, perhaps meaning wealth or things like that. So there's a practical element as well. It's kind of interesting. Okay, an aside. Now the Gemara itself on what is Tu B'Av? Why Tu B'Av? Why not next Tuesday? Why not last Wednesday? Why Tu B'Av, which is, by the way, is this Tuesday night and Wednesday, the 15th of Av. So the Gemara has six theories. Let's take a look. There were never such great days as the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, I understand Yom Kippur. It's a happy day. You know why? We understand it. The Mishnah says the Torah was given on that day, that the Ten Commandments were given a second time on Yom Kippur, according to rabbinic calculation. Good. And of course, we're forgiven on that day. So that's a great day to be happy. I understand that. A little strange to have a shidduch making, have a singles weekend on Yom Kippur afternoon, but maybe in the olden days, after they had forgiveness from the temple, then they would go and have a party. Okay, makes sense. But Elatish Tu B'Av Mahi, what's this business of Tu B'Av? Who ever heard of Tu B'Av? Where in the Torah does it say Tu B'Av? What is this? So Shmuel says, Yom Shudu Shvatim Zilo Zabuzet. Until that day, you couldn't marry from other tribes. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, Achman Amar, Chobash Reshes Nachlan. Torah said, when you should marry from your tribe, so that way your husband doesn't come and steal the land from the wife's tribal area. And it says, Lot Yisov Nachlan, you don't tell Macher, we try not to have people stealing land from one tribe to another. So, V'amdu V'tiru Dov Zabatichamim Shav Zabav. But on the 15th of Av, they said, no. That was only that year, but in general, for the next generations, it's fine. You can marry any tribe you want to. So it's a happy day when the tribes were able to marry one to the other. Again, we have to understand, really? So why? Well, okay, it's a day of marriage. I'm beginning to get the idea, but why is that such a happy day? We'll get to it. I'm Rav Yosef Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman has another theory. Yom Shu Toshev Bin Yomi Lo B'Kal. Not that the Jews could marry each other in different tribes, but there was a problem with Benjamin particularly. So Rashi explains, because the Gemara explains, that it says in Shoftim 21, the book of Judges, Ish Yisrael Nishbam Mitzvah Limor Ish Min Lo Yitem Mitol Liv Nidami. They had sworn not to marry Benjamin ever again, because there was a civil war against Benjamin at the end of the book of Judges. So they said, no, we only swore from them, but not me, but our children could marry one another. Rashi said that we had sworn not to marry Benjamin, but now, the rabbis permitted people from Benjamin to marry and us to marry people from Benjamin. Okay, theory number three doesn't have to do with weddings. It's the day, Rabbi Yochanan says, the day when the Jews stopped dying in the desert. And there's a whole calculation. Rashi gives us a long story. He says, it's taught in the Braita, all 40 years they were in the desert, every Erev Tisha B'Av, the proclaimer would go out and say, let everybody go out and dig a grave. And every person would go out and dig a grave and sleep in it, in case he would die before they had dug. The next day, the proclaimer would go out and proclaim, let the living separate themselves, come up out of the grave, and everybody would, I guess, bury the other people. And everyone who had the soul of life would rise and go out of the grave. And every year, they would do this. On the 40th year, they did it. And the next morning, everyone stood up alive. Nobody was dead. When they saw this, they were astounded. And they said, perhaps we made a mistake in calculating the month. Maybe it's the wrong day. So they went to sleep again. And they slept every night until the 15th. And then they saw the moon was full. They knew for sure it was definitely not the 9th of Av anymore. It was definitely the 15th. They said, okay, I guess we're not going to die. So nobody died. They knew that the 40 years of dying were over, and they established that as the answer. So this is very different. The other ones had to do with, now we can marry the tribes, now we can marry Benjamin. This one is about how we stopped dying. What does that got to do with it? Then the fourth theory is Ula, came from Israel. And he said, Yom Shabitel Hoshea ben Ela Perot Yisrael Shoshiv Yerov Ben Nevat. Yerov Ben Nevat was one of the worst kings. And Hoshea was not the greatest king, but he did one good thing, according to the rabbis. What did he do? He says, if you want to go from the northern tribes to the southern tribe to Jerusalem for Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, you can go. It's not a problem. But Yerovam was a wicked king of the north, and he tried to prevent people from the north to go to the south. He didn't want people to mix in with the... He didn't want to have any rapprochement between the north and the south, because then he would lose his kingship. So he tried to disconnect the north from the south. So Hoshea said, it's fine. If you want to go, you can go. And the fifth theory, Rav Masna or Matana, he said, Yom Shneinu Harugim Beitar Likvura also has to do with death, that it was that there was a 7 year, according to Meiri, there was a 7 year war with the Beitar. The Jews of Bar Kokhba were rising up against the Romans. And finally, we lost, decimated, everywhere was killed. And then on that day, the Romans said, all right, you can bury the Jews. And it turned out that the bodies didn't smell. They didn't weren't putrefied, even though they'd been there for who knows how long, maybe 7 years, maybe a while. So on this day, they were able to be buried. There was a miracle that they didn't putrefy during that time. So even though it's sort of a Pyrrhic victory, but all right, it's something to be happy about. In fact, we say the blessing every day in the benching. Thank God that he's so good to us. They allow these people to be buried. Very interesting blessing. So again, what does that got to do with David rejoicing? It sounds like it's a pretty sad day, the day when they stopped dying. And the last theory seems the most out of left field. Rabbah and Rav Yosef, they say, no, it's the day when they stopped cutting wood for the Beis HaMikdash. When they cut wood for the Beis HaMikdash, you know, when I cut wood, I make a bonfire, the wood starts crackling, and it turns out the wood is wet, and it takes 20 years to get the fire started. But if you're a good Boy Scout, you only use nice dry wood. So they were very precise Boy Scouts in those days. They said, from Tu B'Av, starting this Wednesday, don't use the wood anymore. Because the wood, the sun is not hot enough, and it doesn't dry out the wood enough. It's starting to get cool already. So the wood is, the sun is not so strong, and it's not going to be dry wood, so you don't use, it's not fit for Beis HaMikdash on the altar. And there might be worms in there, Rashi says. Right? So, and they say, therefore, they broke the axe on that day. It was a day of axe breaking. And also, from this day on, if you don't add more Torah, you will die. What is it? His mother should bury him. A terrible expression. What does that mean? That this day, the nights are longer. And if the nights are longer, you have more time to learn. So if you have more time to learn, you got to get to it. And you should study Torah in the night. So it's, what does this got to do with all this? Let's put it over here. So we've got six theories. They're all over the place. Let's try to understand what's going on. So what themes emerge from the reasons for the day? So if anyone could pick out major themes here, we have six different things. Don't give me six different things, but you can give me one, two, three different themes that emerge here. Maybe we can put it all together. So I'll ask for audience participation. Let's go over it again. The tribes can marry each other. Benjamin can marry us, or we can marry Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin. The desert group stopped dying in 40 years. Hosea said the Jews could go from the north to the south. The dead of Beitar were buried, and they didn't cut wood anymore. So, and therefore, somehow the nights were longer, and they could learn more Torah. What has all this got to do with it? Can you find any categories? Can you group some of them together? What do you say?
There's some things about marrying. There's the first two.
Good.
With marrying, right? And number
right,
three,
so we've got,
yeah.
The first two is marrying.
About dying.
Yeah, so dying is strange. So is a happy day because what? Because dying because of what? Because
what
they
sort of opposite. They could be buried in the bar and not decomposed, and then the other ones didn't die. The children didn't die. So some, it's kind of a opposite, but it has to do about death. Both have to do
right,
with
they didn't
with
die.
Death.
Right.
You're right.
I'm not sure.
And the other two have to do with the Beit HaMikdash in a way, don't they?
Right.
Going to the altar. The four and six. One, two, three. They allowed you to come to the Beit HaMikdash.
Okay, so Lenny's got good categories. Lenny says, you've got Mikdash and two with death. That's good. They got six things. She's got three categories. It's good. So I want to organize it like this. I want to organize it as follows.
Wait, Elaine Fox said something, right? Elaine Fox said something in the chat. Elaine, it's interesting.
Oh, okay. Let's take a look. In the chat, Elaine says, increase in Jewish population. Okay, good. Let's see. The increase in Jewish population. All right. That's good. I like it. Let's take a look at it again. Tribes can marry each other. They can have more children. Benjamin can marry more children. The desert group stopped dying. More people, right? The dead of Beitar were buried. Well, at least they weren't dying anymore. Good. So yeah, there's a lot of that. Very good. Very good. More people, more children. So you know, everything you said is great. I want to make these categories, then we'll look at some other commentators. It's a day of togetherness and love. The Shekhinah, the Shekhinah is more present when Jews love each other. When Jews hug each other, God is with us. So the tribes can marry each other. All the Jews are connected. They're not disconnected in 12 different marrying groups. They can all marry each other. When Jews are together, like the cherubs are hugging each other, then God is with us. Benjamin can marry us. That means there are 12 tribes, not just 11 tribes. Hosea allowed the north to come to the south. Again, Jews are more connected one to another. Okay. And also we said that Jews stopped mourning. So the second theme is that the Jews stopped mourning. The Jews stopped dying. The Jews were buried. And there's a joy that the mourning is over. And that relates to our being post Tisha B'Av. So generally speaking, we have more Torah, more Shekhinah. And whenever there's more Torah, because you can learn more every night, then there's more Shekhinah, more divine presence. When there's more unity, there's more divine presence. And then the base of Mikdash is worthy of being with us. And there's more Simcha and less Avelus, you can have more Shekhinah. God does not rest with those who are sad. There's an idea that God's with you when you're in trouble, but there's a certain divine presence. The Shekhinah comes, a more pleasant feeling of God comes when you are in joy. So as long as they were dying in the desert, God didn't speak to Moshe. So it was a time when God would speak to us. It was a time of more Shekhinah. So that's how I want to put together the three things. It's a time of greater Shekhinah as opposed to the Tisha B'Av where we had less. The Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad was a wonderful rabbi in the 19th century. And he said as follows. Bemezeu tami kari. So Yom Zev L'Kuliyam, everybody agrees. He says everybody else is just adding extra things. But really, it's a day to increase marriage. And this, he says, because after all, it's a day when the tribes married each other. Everyone could marry any tribe they wanted to. That's the main thing. So then they're saying that after the Beis HaMikdash, there were other good reasons, namely that the Beit HaRa was buried, and it added additional reasons. But the main reason was the original idea that it was a day when people could marry one with the other. That's Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. The Zohar says something which I don't fully understand, but we'll just throw it out there. He says, on Tu B'Av, the Malchus, which is Shekhinah, it stands with joy for the Jewish people. So in other words, you know, whenever there's a marriage below, it's an allusion to a marriage above. So it could be that today, that Tu B'Av is a day of marriage of the Jews with each other, a man and a woman, but it represents God and the Jewish people. Again, God returning, restoring himself, returning to us after the Tisha B'Av where God removed himself from us. So it's an antidote to Tisha B'Av. We'll see that more in the Pritzadik. The Pritzadik, and you'll see this in other Hasidic writings that happen to have in the Pritzadik. I think I saw it in Tzivos Shalom. You see it in other places. Could be he's one of the first. He said as follows. When the Mishnah said that it was a day of the wedding, that referred to Yom Kippur. The Mishnah was trying to prove that Yom Kippur is an important day. So they say, oh, the day of the wedding. Because when God gave us the Ten Commandments, that was like the ring that God gave us. And that was our day of marriage to God. And what's the day of rejoicing of his heart? The Mishnah said, there's a rejoicing of the heart. What's that? That's the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But what does that got to do? We're not talking about the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about Tu B'Av. He says, no, in the end of days, the Beis HaMikdash will be the building of the Beis HaMikdash will be on Tu B'Av. He says, I can find a hint of that in the Psikta, in a Medrash. It says that why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed in the constellation of Av, which is the Aryeh, which is Leo, which is the lion, and through a lion whose Nebuchadnezzar was like a lion. He says, don't worry, the Beis HaMikdash eventually be rebuilt by the lion who is God. And it will be built in the mazel in the month of Av, the month of the lion. So when will it be rebuilt? So most people would think Tisha B'Av. No. He's saying it'll be rebuilt on the 15th of Av, which leads to a theory. He says This is the Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, Lubliner Rav, I think. He says as follows. No, not the Lublin, the Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. And he says, well, we have to go back to the Book of Judges. It says there'll be a holiday in Shiloh. There was a holiday in Shiloh where the girls would marry people from Benjamin. So what holiday is it? So the Radak said it was Yom Kippur. But he says, what do you mean? Yom Kippur is not a chag, it's not a holiday. It's not a joyous day. It's not called chag. We do find, where do we find a chag? When Aaron was building the golden calf, he said there'll be a chag tomorrow. And that was supposed to be Shabbat and Tammuz. But then the tablets were broken and they never really made the holiday. So then they fixed it on Yom Kippur. They had the holiday that Aaron had declared. They made it on Yom Kippur. Or that the holiday is about Tisha B'Av. That Tisha B'Av is the end of Shavuot Tammuz, and on Tisha B'Av will be the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. That's the holiday, and God promises that He'll turn our sadness into joy. And the rabbis say that the sadness is 7 days, and therefore the joy of a bride and groom is also 7 days. So if you start with Tisha B'Av, 10th of Av, 11th of Av, 12th of Av, 13th of Av, 14th of Av, 15th of Av, how many days do you get? Seven. So the sad time of Tisha B'Av to Tu B'Av will turn to the happy time. Then in the end of days, there'll be a happy time of a seven-day holiday. It'll start on Tisha B'Av. That'll be the first day when you can't work. And then the seventh day will be Tu B'Av. It's part of a holiday of turning the mourning to joy. So Reb Tzadok is connecting Tu B'Av to Tisha B'Av. It's the seventh day of the Beis Hamikdash holiday, building of the Beis Hamikdash holiday. This is what today, in his day, some Hasidim would make a special meal for Tu B'Av. So he says, what kind of meal is this? What are we doing? What's it for? He said, well, they're going to build the Beis Hamikdash. He says, that's not enough. You can't have a meal because you're going to build the Beis Hamikdash on that day. They didn't build it yet. So he says, no. Rashi said that from this day, the nights get longer. When the nights get longer, you have to learn more Torah. So he says, when we start learning Torah, then we're beginning to fix and rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. And that's why even today we can celebrate Tu B'Av, because we learn more. From that day on, you learn more Torah. When you learn more Torah, I hope you build the Beis Hamikdash. So he's claiming that learning Torah helps build the Beis Hamikdash, which goes back to our theory before, that more Torah, more Shekhinah, more unity, more Shekhinah, more Simcha, more Shekhinah, and all these things will build the Beis Hamikdash. So that's Reb Tzadok and his amazing theories. There was another Rebbe, I'm not familiar with him, but Rebbe David Teibel Miminsk, and he says as follows. Before we could marry Benjamin, there wasn't Shlemus, there wasn't Achdus, there wasn't unity, there wasn't wholeness. Before we could marry one tribe with another, they didn't have that. And if they didn't have that, lo zochu l'asharas hashkina v'shleimus, then you couldn't have the divine presence. And that's what this day is. It comes and it gives us the divine presence. That goes back to our theory. More unity, more divine presence represented by the Beis Hamikdash. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have it, here you have it. You have the theory that the six theories of what Tu B'Av is all about relate to, one of them relates to more Torah. Three of them relate to more unity, which is three. Not only the tribes marrying each other, like Lenny pointed out, the two marriage ones, you can marry all the tribes, you can marry Benjamin, but also Hosea said you could go to the north. What does that mean? That the north and the south are reconnecting. So it's a day of connect when Jews are more connected, love and togetherness, then there's more Shekhinah. And also, what does the death have to do with it? When people stop dying, there's no less mourning. As a matter of fact, they say that people died on Tisha B'Av, so they stopped mourning 7 days later, and therefore the joy began. When there's joy, God can rest with us with joy. As we know from the story of Saul, he was very sad, so he brought David to play the harp. He's happier, and he had the divine presence. So what is Tu B'Av? Proclaiming, what is Tu B'Av? It's a day of more Shekhinah. It's a day that when we look forward to rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash, which represents God dwelling among us. And how are we going to get more Shekhinah? How are we going to build the Beis Hamikdash? We're going to have more Torah. Through more Torah, we get more Shekhinah, and we're going to have more unity of one tribe and one Jewish community to the other. It's nice to have someone from another shul here today. It's a good symbol of that. And And then more simcha, hopefully if a Jew is happier, divine presence, a certain type of divine presence comes with us. When we have joy, when we stop mourning. So Hashem, we should stop dying. The COVID people should stop dying. And the plague should stop. And the divisiveness in our community, and Jewish community in general, should stop. And learn more Torah, Yirtzeh Hashem, with all that, we'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we'll make a tikkun, a fixing of Tisha B'Av with the Tu B'Av, and then we can have indeed a great day of rejoicing again. Lo hayu lam tov mi Yisrael, yom ha-kippur chamisha sar b'av. Maybe one day we could say once again, there were never great days of joy like Yom Kippur, when we got forgiven, and like Tu B'Av, where we went out on Tu B'Av, where the Beis HaMikdash hopefully will be rebuilt one day. So that's our presentation for today. Any comments or questions?
Thank you, Rabbi. That was very interesting.
Quite welcome. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.
Like that.
Glad you could join us. Anyway, what do you say, Gio? What do you have to say?
Who is Beit HaMikdash?
Sorry? Yosef Chaim of Baghdad?
Yeah, I was just wondering who.
Yeah, he was a Ben Yoyada. He wrote a wonderful commentary on Haggadah, but more significantly, he wrote the. Is it the Ben Yishchai? I think the Ben Yishchai was written by Yosef Chaim of Baghdad. Yeah, wonderful commentator, and before the Jews were exiled from Baghdad, so. It's a wonderful community there, and Rav Yosef from there, and Reuel Chaim Baghdad is one of the great halachic scholars. Yeah. Yes. Anybody else? Gio, any comments?
Gio wrote something in the chat. I don't know what.
Oh, in the chat. Okay. Let's see. Gio has a chat. Let's see. So did I understand correctly that the first mention we have of it is in the Mishnah? He's claiming that Chag Hashem Shiloh has to do with it. That the end of Shoftim, there's some allusion to some sort of, similar merrymaking type of thing. But yes, in the simple sense of it, without the Mishnah, you wouldn't have it. Right. That's true.
Well, did Rashi comment on the graves? It was in the Torah, right? But he doesn't mention Tu B'Av, does he? Now I don't remember. When you brought
Rashi's a commentary. In this story, That's Rashi's story, right? That's Rashi's story. It's found in Yerushalmi in some version. He's quoting it from a Medrash,
but the verse was it in Devarim? Is that actual
verse?
No.
That's Rashi on the Gemara. Rashi on the Gemara, right there, gives you that story.
But it's Rashi not there. Right. In the Torah, now, does it say that they? It doesn't say anything about them going into the graves. No, not really. In the Torah,
I don't think Rashi brings this medrash in the Torah. No, but there's a pasuk in Devarim, Vayikra Shartakalu, when they all stop dying, and Rashi simply points out there on Chumash that as long as they were dying, God didn't speak to us. But then they everyone stopped dying. Then God had started talking to us again. Vayomer Hashem Eli. That was for again start. So there's an idea of 38 years, God didn't speak to us. Because as long as you're dying and there's sadness, God can't speak to us. So I guess we might say one reason we can't have prophecy today, can't have the Beis HaMikdash, is because as long as we're still mourning, then God can't be with us. You have to have that joy in order for God to be with us. So certainly this time of COVID is not exactly a joyous time. So it's hard to have that Shechina. Hopefully, when it's all over, there'll be a great, great celebration. It'll be like that picture in the front of the New York Times, when World War II was over, So exciting. So look forward to a day like that soon. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us. And we'll be back on Thursday at 1 if you'd like to join us. And this week, we're going to talk about some deeper meanings of benching. So please join us. I have also a video last week about benching if you want to check it out. Okay. Thank you all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Rabbi, do you have that citation from the Zohar handy?
Yeah. Zohar and Truma. Tisha B'Av is the Malchus, Omedes besimcha al benos Yisrael. Hamalchus omedes besimcha al benos Yisrael. It just says, Betisha betubav, he omedes besimcha al benos Yisrael. And the edition that I have says, it refers to Malchus. And Malchus is besimcha al benos Yisrael.
You don't have the page citation?
No, just that it's in Truma.
Okay. All right.
Just that it's in Truma.
Cool.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Take care, everyone. Be well. Bye-bye.
You too.